Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Hey kids, welcome to another episode of the Video Nasty Project. For tonight's episode, I tried to find a log cabin that was in the woods, but I couldn't. So I went with this one log that was turned into a cabin, but I've got my Necronomicon and I've got my child sacrifice, so we're all set to watch The Evil Dead. Check out the trailer.
Your girlfriend, you take care of her.
Welcome back. We just got done seeing The Evil Dead. Actually, technically, we didn't watch The Evil Dead just because we know it so well.
We know it.
We know
it.
We do know
it. We had that discussion. Are we going to watch it?
Do we have to?
No.
All right.
I know it well enough. So, usually when, at this point of the show, this is the bit where we tell you about the plot of the movie. If you are a horror fan, and you must be a horror fan to get this deep into the Video Nasties.
Well,
you don't know the plot of The Evil Dead, what the hell are you doing watching my show?
Now, I will say this. There are people that maybe haven't seen things. And that's fair. What I would say is this. We're not going to really recap the plot. But if you haven't seen it, we certainly recommend it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You should watch this movie. Or at least one movie in the series.
I can do a really quick summarization.
All right.
Five college friends go to a cabin out in the middle of the woods that has no running water, apparently has electricity, and has a bunch of skulls hanging in the basement. The Book of the Dead is found. They listen to a videotape, or no, an audio tape. The dead come up, and one by one, the five college students, except for you know who, and if you don't, naughty naughty, is left as the last man standing.
Hey gang, Tony here. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but Jeff and Ian, I love to talk. And the problem is, it's all really, really good stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut the episode in half, take all the really good stuff and spin it off into its own video Ferox, and we're going to just jump right to the is it nasty and did we like it? Now back to your episode already in progress. So this is the point of the episode where we say, did we like it? But it's The Evil Dead. The list on my notes consists of, duh, and that's it.
Yeah. It's The Evil Dead.
Yes.
It's The Evil Dead. What's not to like?
it's a classic for a reason. Absolutely. But I think even more, well, here's the thing with The Evil Dead. It is the genesis of not just a film series, but a career.
And a genre.
From it, we get Sam Raimi. From it, we get a particular genre of horror comedy. Well, of horror that evolved into horror comedy. You get one of the iconic characters in cinema.
Groovy.
As well as one of the great B-movie actors. And imagery that would carry through and be pastiched and copied by directors from since then and for years to come.
So I'm supposed to follow that? No. The movie did all of that. And one of the things that I think helped significantly that makes this movie the cult movie that it is that even with all of the really subtle things that were being done wrong production-wise, the core people were all wanting to make the same film. Mm. They didn't have to discuss, no, I don't like the way this scene's written, or none of that happened. They knew they wanted a film, they shot it.
Yeah, they were a cohesive unit.
And they took the time to edit it.
More time editing than filming. Which really should always be the case.
Well, a year and a half of editing to 5 weeks of shooting. I mean, well, that was...
again, that goes back to the classic story of Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
And you know this, Young Frankenstein story about the creation scene. So in Young Frankenstein, the first time they filmed the scene where the Peter Boyle creature is brought to life, they screened it. After the screening, Mel Brooks stopped the film, got in front of everyone in the room and went, well, that was horrible. But that just means back to editing. And they did like 4 or 5 edits, and it went from horrible to genius with no new footage filmed, just with work in the editing studio to trim it down to just the parts that work. Editing is very often the unsung hero of filmmaking. I was discussing last night with people, of all things, The Suicide Squad. And there's a general agreement. One of the reasons that movie sucks so badly is the incredibly poor editing. The editor they brought in for that movie was an editor of movie trailers. And it shows.
Well, you hear stories of how Star Wars, the very first Star Wars, was saved by the editing mm-hmm. and the snappy pacing.
So I'd argue that that's always one of Sam Raimi's strengths.
Yeah.
Sam knows what to do in an editing studio, in part because of the work on this film, and has carried through for his entire career, which is where we get... You know what? We wouldn't have gotten the original Spider-Man movie
without this.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes down to. And I think this is just that. It's once the movie is put together, once all those pieces are connected just right. Well, you've said this before just in creating this series. That you spend a lot of your effort isn't in this part when we're in front of a camera talking.
It's trimming out the dead weight.
Ted trimming out the dead weight and figuring out exactly how to make all those connective pieces go together. In this case, it's just they knew they wanted this one to land. So, and they weren't under a time crunch. Nope. So they took their time, did it right, and...
The results show.
Yeah.
So I suppose the much more appropriate question than did we like it, of the three, what's your favorite of the franchise?
What? Well, that's an interesting question because I suppose the first thing is where do you draw the line on the franchise? So I think we can count the series as its own entity.
Right. Not really fair to compare. They've got, 3 seasons of 14 episodes? So that's, 26, 30 hours of material?
Half-hour episodes.
Half-an-hour episodes? Yeah, not really fair to compare that to this. Right.
So really what we're talking about are the three movies.
And the remake, I suppose, which I've not seen, but we could throw it in there.
Even then, I would put the remake as a somewhat anomalous piece. And so if you go purely by, just my gut opinion, I'm going to always drift towards Evil Dead 2. And I love Army of Darkness. I think Army of Darkness is a great movie. But in Army of the Darkness is when the series very much moved from, this isn't really a horror film. This is an action film with horror tropes, which is fine and which is fun and I love. But Evil Dead 2 balances the horror and the humor and takes those iconic moments from this movie and reframes them to take it up to 11.
And just magnifies them. Yes. Yeah. Emphasizes them so much more. I guess, I suppose for me, it depends on what mood I'm in the mood for. Either the action horror or the horror action. And I think most of the time I'm going to come down on the side of Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I love them all.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing. It's hard to separate them out. They are a connective unit. The interesting thing, I was talking last night at dinner with Rias Hall of Don't Read the Latin, who is also, because of her decades of work at Scarecrow the Video, is a fairly experienced film historian. And we kind of came down to the fact that with the Evil Dead series, it's kind of weird that the original movie that set the stage is probably the least known of the series. Just overall, I would argue fewer people have seen The Evil Dead than have seen Evil Dead 2. And I think the same, more people have probably seen Army of Darkness than anything of the series. So it's a very strange series that way. Of course, the other issue is the fact that Evil Dead 2 is effectively just a remake.
They claim it's not, but for the purposes of our conversation, we're going to consider it.
Yeah.
One of the things that makes it appear so much to be a remake is that they weren't allowed to use scenes from the first film for flashback purposes in part two. So they effectively remounted and reshot the scenes. So people saw that, and that really is what cements it's a remake.
Yeah, because otherwise there's no reference to Ash of, yeah, I've been through this before.
Yeah, there's no real connective tissue. There's, unless Ash took a bunch of hits to the head, well, which he did. And he's an idiot, which he is.
You know I'm not Mexican, right? That's the spirit.
He would have noticed, hey, wait a minute, I've already had this stuff happen to me.
Yeah, and yeah, it doesn't play that way at all.
Yeah, which is fine. And you know what? I'm also of the opinion, I don't think it necessarily matters.
No.
Not in this series. And there's all kinds. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can hand wave it. It doesn't matter. So yeah, for me, yeah, mostly I'm going to probably go back to Evil Dead 2 as my favorite. But you're right. That honestly could, on any given day, be a coin flip and dependent on current mood.
All right. So what about you? What of of the three do you like the best?
Well, it's going to fall on the third one, largely because it's the first one I ever saw. I didn't know it was a third movie.
You always thought it first.
I thought it was the first movie. And I go, wait, this is the third one? Because as you're sitting there watching the movie and there's these scenes playing out, it's like, well, either they just conceived all these flashbacks or they're referring to a movie before it.
The thing is, though, those flashbacks were brilliantly, and then most of them were, restagings,
yeah,
of scenes from the movie, just filming them fresh for Army of Darkness. But again, giving you enough background.
Yeah.
Making it really a self-contained movie in,
yeah,
itself.
Yeah.
I think that's the real thing. You can watch any one in the series by itself, and you're fine without ever watching any of the other movies in the series.
I would argue that you could also do that to the television series, which really kind of kicks off its own thing and really, or is in its own universe. So here's a question for you guys. What was the first time you saw The Evil Dead, and what sort of impact did it have on you at the time?
So here's the thing. I did not actually see it when it was in its theatrical run. It played, but it was, at the time, I think with the ad campaign, I wasn't drawn. But what happened in the late 80s, like 87, and a friend of mine said, oh, The Evil Dead? Yeah, no, that's the scariest movie I ever saw. I mean, most horror movies don't bother me, but oh, this one. So I saw it. It's like, yeah, no, that was a very effective horror film. Wow. And of course, it's there are shots that you really didn't see before because the filmmakers were madmen. But yeah, it was one of those. And I remember, again, it's the tree scene. I know.
It's going to stick out with you, man.
It's going to stick out. And that's what the person said had frightened them. So I guess I had been preloaded to go, oh, my goodness, that. And seeing that, it's like, back then, oh.
It's also the first real scene of horror in the film.
Yeah.
And it comes early.
Yeah.
And I remember, because here's the thing. I didn't actually see Evil Dead 2 until many years after its theatrical run. And that was just more of a, it came out at a time when I was kind of turned off horror. And then it just sort of passed. I knew everyone talked great about it. I kind of saw them out of order. I saw 1, 3, 2. And so I, of course, I knew there was an Evil Dead 2. But I was like, well, so I assumed when I saw Army of Darkness with all those flashbacks that, oh, okay, well, this doesn't seem like a lot happened in Evil Dead, not realizing, of course, the reframing. and wow, this is a very different movie than the first time.
It was very different.
Yeah.
I remember very clearly the first time I saw The Evil Dead. I rented it from the video store that was right near our place. And I did a double feature because they did the 2-for-1 day. And I got Evil Dead and The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first time I had seen both. And I was probably, this was probably about 96 or 86 or so. So I was probably 18, 19 or so. I put on Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was crushed. Did not like it because what's the title imply? It's going to be bloody. It's going to be chainsaws. It's going to be freaking out, freaky. And to my 17-year-old brain, was crushingly disappointed that there was no blood and guts. So then I put on The Evil Dead. And my fucking mind was blown. And that's where I came in on the series.
Right. Probably considering our relative age difference, you and I probably saw it around the same time.
Probably.
Yeah.
You recall?
The era, that time frame is probably, I can't nail it down exactly, because the time frame of the 80s was the time frame where I was the squeamish Nelly who would get up and walk out of the room when the scene started, and I'd kind of listen from around the corner, and, oh, it's done, and I go back and start watching the film again. So I didn't really watch the film.
You watch it through the eyes. Right.
Because I just, you know, and it wasn't until the 90-91 where I said, enough of this crap. I'm around people who like to watch these films.
That being us.
Us, yeah.
So I I took Dawn of the Dead on video cassette and made myself watch it over and over again to the point where the scenes just washed over me and I was laughing at moments that most people probably wouldn't laugh at. But yeah.
We've been friends way too long.
Far too long.
But I seem to, my memory is you actually, until you did that, you actually had a phobia of zombies.
Yeah, because, I recall. Yes, because basically what...
You wouldn't watch Evil, you didn't want to watch Night of the Living Dead with us because...
I'm going to lay awake all night fretting about death. And what started that, and I'm going to name drop here, Jehovah's Witnesses and all of their goddamn rubbish about Armageddon. That's what I have to say to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Making an 8 or 9 year old kid afraid of what they've done in their life because they're not going to make it through Armageddon. That's what happened.
So many downvotes.
See, because I have memories of after you did that, you coming to us. All right, I did this, and we were all like, "What? you did what?" And after that, it was like, I almost think we were like, dude, slow down.
Give me more.
It's like, I know you need to catch up with us, but...
You don't have to do it in a week.
Dude.
Yeah, so... I you know, and then falling... So there's why I don't have this concrete... So it wasn't until after going to the movie theater for the debut, opening day... I see Bruce Campbell, I see Ash, I see this quick-witted snappy comeback, flippant character. And then I go and watch properly The Evil Dead. And I'm like...
And that's not the character at all.
But later I learned to appreciate that. Oh, no, wait. This is a good film. Mm-hmm. It just isn't...
Yeah.
I want the little guys being... Anyway, sorry.
All right, I guess that's all we got to say about that. So, was it appropriate to leave The Evil Dead off of the list?
As every time, there's the question of thinking from the point of view of a rational person and thinking of the point of view of Mary Whitehouse.
Two different neighborhoods on two different planets.
Yeah. And again, it's that question of what edits were in England in the first place. I always can, and here's the thing that drives me nuts, and we were discussing this in our prep. To me, where everyone would have problems would be the tree.
The tree.
And yet you're saying it was the pencil.
It was the pencil.
Yeah. When the movie was released theatrically before it hit VHS, they knocked about 30 seconds, 40 seconds out of the movie, and it was primarily the scene where Linda gets stabbed in the ankle with the pencil, and it's not so much the stabbing, but the twisting and the dragging out and the blood. And that's what they were objecting to. So that's where the cuts came. When it hit VHS, that's where the tree rape got cut. Because the powers that be editing for VHS were like, well, we have to assert our dominance. We have to prove that we actually do something. So we're going to be more excessive with our cuts. So we're going to go above and beyond what the BBFC required. So they cut the tree, mostly.
With all that, then, no. No, in the end, you know what? It's a horror movie. There's going to be... If you're not uncomfortable in watching a horror movie, then why are you watching a horror movie? And in this case, if you're going to want to cut those things, and what you're really saying is you don't like horror as a genre and want it banned. And that's BS. So, no, I there are other movies that we have reviewed where, sure, I see why it's on the list. This one was simply, you know, you're just going after everything now.
Yes. Would you put it on the list?
No. What started, I think, a large part of the kerfluffle is the title is really not misleading.
The poster art is pretty upsetting.
Pretty upsetting. It had a social stigma on that side of the pond. It had already been in court. The Germans got their hands on it first, as far as a court battle goes. at least that's what my memory is telling me. But they really seriously, somebody actually sat down and watched the film, knew what was in it, and said, let's start cutting out all the crap that they felt existed.
Well, James Furman, the then head of the BBFC, when he wanted to release it in the theaters uncut, because he realized that the movie was so over the top and so extreme that it's funny. If you hit somebody in the head with a frying pan once, that's a tragedy. When you hit them four times, that's comedy. He realized this, and he was reluctant to make cuts to the movie because it would undermine the over-the-topness and would make it significantly more horrific.
No, that's smart. So, yeah, this was clear overreach. And I think also that kind of leads to what happened. You know, why this was not a season one discussion.
So when the movies other than The Evil Dead wound up being prosecuted and being dragged to court, the video distributors, they would often say, this is not worth my time. This is not worth a roll of the dice. I'm going to just back off and let them take the tapes and I'll sell something else. Palace Video, they were the ones who were distributing The Evil Dead at the time. And there was a huge pile of money on the table for them. They sold something like 50,000 units at about 50 to 60 pounds each. So for context, in 1983 dollars, that's about $75-ish a tape. So that is a huge pile of money that they did not want to lose. So they said, the stakes are high enough, we're going to go to court and fight for this. Now, the thing is, the movie had already been to court a couple of times, actually like 40 times. And but the problem is that you would get prosecuted in each region, and each case didn't set a precedence. So Palace Video, they rolled the dice and said, okay, we want to do a test trial, which is basically sets precedence. And that could have easily blown up in their face, because if it had gone wrong, they're in a world of trouble. So they got Sam Raimi over. The court case drug on for like 4 months. And they finally set up a screening for like the jury and the judge. And they ran the movie. And the judge said, why are you wasting the court's time? You've already prosecuted this movie 40 times and only gotten 2 convictions. I see nothing offensive in this. Why are you wasting my time? Get the hell out of the court and set the precedent down. So that's why it's not necessarily the beginning of the end, The Evil Dead was, but it is certainly a significant milestone in our journey of the nasties.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I think it deserves the recognition of somebody standing up and going, all right, we're drawing this line in the sand. And yeah, it was a risk. It was a calculated risk, but I think it was a worthwhile risk. And did definitely set the stage for a lot of this nonsense ending.
I don't have it in my head, and it was there a little while ago. I was thinking about it. There was something Sam Raimi said during the court trial, and I can't remember what it was, but it also was one of those nyeh-nyeh moment kind of things. Like, see? You really are out of your depth. You're failing because you're persecuting something that isn't persecutable.
That you have no clue and no context for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there we go. Off the list, all around, and important for it to be fought in court.
Yeah.
All right. We'll catch you next time then, I guess.
Hiya, hiya, hiya. They're shrimply delicious. Hiya, hiya, hiya. You'll go for that mouth-watering, taste-tempting, meaty shrimp mixture all wrapped up in a crispy noodle jacket. It's a treat you can't beat. So come on, join the folks that are getting fresh, crispy, Flavo shrimp rolls now at the snack bar.
All right, well, that's what we thought about The Evil Dead. They want $5 to get into the thing, so we're just gonna, whatever, sacrifice is off.
Can I go now?
All right, go. We'll catch you next week. Drop us an email, thevideonastyproject@gmail.com. Bye, guys.
What the fuck was that? It's The Evil Dead.